following message is brought to you by Capital City Baptist Church of Port Moresby. We exist to bring glory to God by knowing Christ and making Him known. If you would like to visit our church, we hold multiple services on Sunday mornings, starting at 9 a.m. We are located between Motuka Wharf and Edai Town. Pickups are available 709-1000.
Good morning, church. The reading is from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 6. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoning with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man.
Young people, fantastic. Great job. Let's give them another big round of applause. That's fantastic. Well done. And now I know why all of you were here for the 9 o'clock. Great day. Good job, guys. Well done. What a blessing and a blessed thought that we don't have to be a prophet. We don't have to be a martyr. He saves sinners by His grace. What a fantastic thought. I'll be in Colossians chapter 4 this morning, and if I can encourage you to go ahead and grab Ephesians chapter 6, the end of Ephesians chapter 6. Last week we talked quite a bit of the correlation between Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, and then today I want to even just kind of show one more thing that we didn't talk about last week. And I'll just touch that in our introduction, and then we'll get into the meat of our message. For those of you that this might be your first time to be with us, we've been walking through the book of Colossians. Colossians is one of two books that were written at the same time. The other one is the book of Philemon. Philemon was a slave owner, and his slave, Onesimus, had run away. Paul does not address the issue of slavery, and we have, it is sin. There's not a place for a human being to own another human being. Paul does encourage forgiveness, and in his letter to Philemon, he said, receive him back, not as a slave, but receive him back as a brother. What better way to overthrow slavery than to see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? And so this letter, Colossians, is written to the church that's hosted in the house of Philemon. So Philemon, it's a slave owner, gets a letter to himself that says, forgive Onesimus and receive him back as a brother. And at the same time, he's hosting in his home a church, the Colossian church, and the church also gets a letter. I'd like to take just a moment and show you that there is a third letter that got sent along at the same time, and that was the letter to the people of Laodicea. Laodicea was a twin city to Colossae. You can do a little bit of study and find that they were both in the same valley together. Laodicea on one side, Colossae on the other side. And we can see that in chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4. You can look down to verse number 16. And you can tell that we're kind of wrapping up this book. We'll have this week and next week will be our last week in the book of Colossians. Verse number 16, when this epistle is read among you, this is the letter to the Colossians, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. So there's a third letter that's also going along. We don't have that third letter now. For whatever reason, God in His divine sovereignty and in His plan, we did not receive in the canon of Scripture the letter to the Laodiceans. We don't have that. It's gone. Was God's plan, and we can speculate about the reasons why. Well, that's a discussion for another day. So there were three letters that were being carried by Tychicus and Onesimus. Those two guys carry three letters. And this I want to show you, there's a fourth letter that gets carried at the same time too. So these two guys, Tychicus and Onesimus, are going to carry four letters. 12% of the New Testament is going to be carried in their pockets. Just imagine. Onesimus is a runaway slave. If he gets caught, it could cost him his life. And these two guys are going to take these four letters, and the fourth letter is one that we haven't even discussed. So you may have already picked up on Laodicea, but you may not have picked up on the other one. And let me show it to you. So look down at verse number 7 and verse number 8. This is Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. You're going to see Tychicus and Onesimus named here. Verse 7, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he may know your estate and comfort your hearts." He says here, Tychicus is carrying this letter, and when he comes, he's going to tell you about how I'm doing, and he also cares about how you're doing, so he wants to know what's going on there. Now, keep in mind those words. So I'm going to read them again, and I want you to just let those words and the wording settle in. Here's verse 7, "All my state, how I'm doing, shall Tychicus declare unto you. He's a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts." And I asked you to come to Ephesians 6, so hold your place here in Colossians 4. We'll come back to it. So look at Ephesians 6, verses 21 and 22. You're going to see some very similar words. Ephesians 6, verse 21. "But that you may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I've sent unto you for the same purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts." It's almost identical words. You remember last week we said, Colossians chapter 3, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. You can see these two letters are written at the same time. Paul sits down to write. He goes, Tychicus and Onesimus, you guys are headed to Colossae. And on your way, you're going to pass through a town called Ephesus. I need to write a letter to those people also. And he sits down and he begins to write. And the writings that are fresh on his mind to the church at Colossae are fresh on his mind as he writes to Ephesus. And he writes these letters that could almost be identical. Ephesians stretches out to 6 chapters, Colossians only 4. But he writes these letters and then he hands them off to Tychicus and Onesimus. And he says, guys, I'm going to take these 4 letters. There could have been more. We don't know about the others, but there could have been 4 at least. I'm going to take these 4 letters and I want you to drop them off at these churches along your way. Now let me share with you, this is no small feat. This is not a little thing that he would give, or that they would do this journey. I'm going somewhere with this, so follow me. Paul's in prison in Rome. Very likely, this is his only imprisonment. Some people think he had 2. We don't have any scriptural basis to be able to say, yes, it was 2. We don't know for sure. I think he's in prison. This is the end. He probably thinks it. Even if he does get a chance to be released, he probably thinks this could be the end. He's already been in prison for a number of years by this point. And he writes the letter and he says, please, will you take this letter and these letters, will you take them away? Tychicus is going to take these letters as far as Colossae. That's not a small thing. You and I think, I'm going to take a letter somewhere. Today's idea of sending a letter is so small a thing. You send an email, and instantly it's around the world. Very different day today. Some of us would remember the days before Digicel. Right? Pre-2007. If you were born 2000, 2001 until present, you have no idea what we're talking about. But pre-2007, if you needed to send a letter to a bow, you wrote it, you handed it to somebody, and you hoped they actually went. And you had no idea what's going to happen. You write the letter, and you wait for a response. And that right response might be today. It definitely won't be today. It might be next week. It might be a month. It might be a year from now. You might get a response and forget what you had written. Here's Paul saying, I want you to take these letters, and you're going to go as far as Colossae to take these letters and pass them out. Let me share with you what that took. Rome is on the western side of Italy. To get to a boat, Tychicus and Onesimus need to get to the western side. So they're going to go from the eastern side to the western side. And when they cross, that's going to be 200 kilometers on foot. No trains, no trucks, no PMVs, on foot. They're going to go 200 kilometers. Oh, and by the way, cross a mountain range. Up over the mountain, come down the other side. And some of you just went 200 kilometers, big deal. I don't know what that means. It means as far as Kerama if you go that way. I just said about. If you go that way, about is just short. If you keep going past about, there's a place there. Let me see if I can find the name of it. Some of you might be familiar with a place called Labu. That's exactly 200 kilometers that way. So you got on foot 200 kilometers. You can imagine that's if you're hiking 9 hours a day, it's going to take you 5 days to get there. That's a lot of walking. And all that did was get you across Italy. Now you're on a boat. And if the winds are favorable, you'll take a boat from the western side of Italy to Corinth, because that will be your shortest distance. And if the winds are favorable, it will take you 13 days on a boat to get to Corinth. You get off your boat in Corinth, on the western side of Corinth, it will take you a day to walk across the city of Corinth. And if you don't stop, you can get on another boat there, and it's 5 days from Corinth to Ephesus. And this is if the winds are favorable. You get to Ephesus, and now from Ephesus to Colossae is another 200 kilometers walk. 5 more days. We're talking about 10 days of walking, 5 on each end, and 18 days on a boat in the middle, broken up by a day as you walk through the city of Corinth. A whole month to carry these letters from Rome to Colossae. I would say that Tychicus is a new man. Because a new man will do something like that, where he's going to carry the word of God to God's people. And he's just going to go, and he's not getting paid. Remember, he's not getting paid for this. Paul's not going, I got some letters, and he's not going for some other alternative reason. He's going because he cares about the brotherhood. He cares that people are going to hear the word of God, and he cares that they know how things are going on in the rest of the body of Christ. And so off he goes, and perhaps he stopped in Ephesus for a few days, and then he continues on to Laodicea, and he stayed there for a few days, and he goes on to Colossae. We don't know what that journey looked like, but he's a whole month to get there. And this guy is exhibiting what the life of a new man looks like. A new man is not going to be dictated by the cares of this world and drawn back by the ability to, I'll go, Paul, if you're going to pay me. But I'm going to go if there's going to be an income out of this. But instead, he knows Onesimus needs a friend beside him. And I'm going to go with Onesimus. I'm going to make sure that the church at Colossae understands what forgiveness is. I'm going to carry what ends up being the scriptures all the way across. We've seen this book, Colossae, the book to the Colossians. We've seen in the first chapter, as the Apostle Paul wrote, of, oh, how magnificent and oh, how glorious the Lord Jesus Christ is. And then we came into the second chapter and we saw the different errant heresies that are out there that might try to attack the gospel in the church. And he said, we don't need any of those outside things. We have Jesus Christ, and Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And then we come into chapter 3, and he talks about being a new man, putting off the old man, putting on the new man. And today we're going to see in chapter 4 that the new man with a new walk will also have a new talk. It's going to be a new talk that will come out of our mouths. Brothers and sisters, your talk, your speech should be impacted greatly by the fact that you are a new man. Before I go much further, and we'll see this in our text, before I go much further, may I beg of you, young people, watch what it is that you say. For your words can build up, and your words can tear down. They can tear down other people, they can also tear down your own testimony. Be careful with what you say. Let's see, he has 4 different things he's going to talk about. When we talk about our new talk as a new man, there's going to be 4 different things we'll see, and let's break them down. Number 1, I'm going to talk in prayer. This would be talking to God. Speaking to God is number one. This is verse number two. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So the new man is going to have a new type of speech, and that speech is us talking to the Lord in prayer. Realize that the old man does not have that ability. The old man does not speak with the Heavenly Father. Oh, he might throw out every once in a while something like, "Oh God, help me." But the Lord is not his Heavenly Father, and so the old man does not speak with the Lord, but the new man should be speaking with the Lord regularly. And notice the word that he uses, continue in prayer. Prayer is many different ways that we have prayer. We look through Scriptures, 500 different references to prayer in the Scriptures, to praying and to prayer. There are many different ones that we could go to. I'll just point out a handful of them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 makes this statement, pray without ceasing. It should be a constant attitude that's in our lives. I hope that you don't take this and think that, oh, perhaps I need to be always praying, and if there's something else going on, I'm just going to put it off to the side. No, this is a pray without ceasing would be the idea that I'm constantly have an open channel with the Lord. There should be nothing between me and God that stops me from being able to pray. So take that for just a moment and remember what Jesus said, when you come to the altar and you have aught against your brother or your sister, leave your gift at the altar and go take care of things with your brother and sister and then come back. So what could it be that would stop you from praying? Relationship with other people. Make sure that you've got that taken care of. And pray without ceasing. I would hope that your life and your actions, the way that you go through life, would be such that at any moment you can be praying. You don't have to be on your knees with your eyes closed to be praying. Any posture works. For example, I hope that your life is such that when you are going through life, you are constantly talking with the Lord. I hope that's natural for you. As a new man, it should be. An example of that would be perhaps if you're driving in a rush to get somewhere, there's a meeting coming up, there's something that you need to be to at a certain time. You're coming up the road and you might be praying, Lord, would you part this Red Sea called North Waigani so that I can get through that traffic light? Nothing wrong with that type of attitude. Father, would you bless and allow this to work? Or perhaps you're on the bus, you get on the bus and you need this bus to be going, and miraculously the driver does not wait for another 25 passengers and instead he moves along. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity for me to continue on my day without having to sit here and wait for one more, Mino Gemon, one more. This should be a constant attitude, me to the Lord, without ceasing. Another one, Psalm chapter 51, verses 9 and 10. Prayer is a way or a means for us to be renewing our relationship with the Lord. Let's be honest, all of us are fallen and we fall into sin again and again and again, and prayer is our way of renewing that relationship with the Lord. Psalm 51, verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. He's talking to the Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sin breaks that fellowship with God, and yet we have the opportunity through prayer to be able to renew that fellowship with the Lord. And oh, don't think that you have to wait a certain time period. The moment you realize, I've sinned against you, a holy God, God, I'm sorry, and create in me a clean heart. Don't hide your face from me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. Prayer is a way by which we come to the Lord and we ask, petition, supplicate is the word that Philippians use. Verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Literal meaning, do not be full of care. That's another word we would use today, would be worry. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Continually praying, God, would you provide these needs for me? Supplicating for my brothers and sisters. Lord, my friend has cancer and I'm praying for you to do well for that person. Supplicating. Let's use the words that Paul uses in verse number 2 here, continue in prayer. Continue. The word continue means literally to be bold or be persistent. continue. You can think of someone that would maybe perhaps feel shy to come before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, no, be bold. Continue in prayer. Come before him. We have a Heavenly Father who hears the prayers of his children. And so continue. Come boldly. Be persistent before him. I might think of Romans 8 in verse 32 might be of help with us in this passage. He that spared not his own son, but it delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You just think of this. If God sent Jesus to the cross, the hardest thing there ever was to do, ever, could not he handle the minuscule little things that we would bring to him in prayer? That's just an obvious, it's a given. This would be, we would say, a rhetorical question. If he gave us the hardest thing ever, that was Jesus, will he not also take care of the other little things? One that Jesus used was, will he not feed you like he feeds the sparrows? How shall he not with him freely give us all things? And remember that he does that according to his will, and we would see that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, just four verses previous to this verse. This would be one that many of us would know. We know that all things work together for good. To them who are the called and to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so God works on all things for our good and for his glory. And then we see in verse number 2 again, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Watch. That's literally be paying attention to what God's doing in your life. I'm praying, I'm talking to you, Lord, and I'm watching you, and I'm doing this with thanksgiving. It's coming out of my heart, Lord. Don't be the beggar that's constantly asking. Be paying attention to while he's working. And so, Lord, with a thanksgiving, thankful heart, I'm returning praise to you. So this is talking to the Lord. So pay attention to what he's doing. That's first. Our speech, our talking with the Lord. Second is we're going to be speaking out the gospel. So let's see his prayer in verse number 3. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. So notice what it is that he's asking them to pray. So he's saying, as a new man, you're going to be speaking with the Lord, and you're also going to be speaking the gospel. So let's read verse 3 in mind of, I'm speaking out the gospel. Here's verse 3. Pray for us that God would open a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ for which I'm in bonds. I'm in prison, this is what he's saying, I'm in prison because I've been speaking the gospel and I'm asking you to pray that I'll get the opportunity to continue to speak the gospel. That's the exact opposite of what's normal. You know what the old man would be praying? Oh, brothers and sisters, this is the old man praying. Brothers and sisters, pray with me that I can get out of prison. That's what the old man prays. But the new man prays a different way. Brothers and sisters, pray with me that as I'm in prison, I can open my mouth and speak the gospel. And by the way, it's this gospel that's brought me to this place in prison. It was not any other reason that he was in prison. He goes, pray with me that I'll have the opportunity and a door of utterance, that word utterance, I can speak out. I can open my mouth and speak in an open door that would be an opportunity. He speaks many times throughout his epistles of open doors and closed doors. There were definitely closed doors to him. Acts chapter 16, there was a series of closed doors. You might remember that. In Acts chapter 16, Paul was wanting to go into Asia. That would be north from where he was. He was coming along the southern coast of what is today Turkey. That would be, at that time, Asia Minor. As he was coming along the southern coast, Acts chapter 16 says that he continually wanted to go north, and yet said the Holy Spirit forbade him. I don't know if you've ever thought about what it looks like for the Holy Spirit to stop you from giving the gospel. Like, it just seems like that would be normal, right? Wouldn't God want us to give the gospel? And yet the Holy Spirit stopped him, and the Holy Spirit would do that for his purpose. Remember, God works all things together for good to them who love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And so Paul, wanting to do the right thing, go into Asia, but God kept stopping him. I look back in our ministry and watching as God's worked, and I've seen God close the door at places in our ministry as well. About 15 years ago, I was in Kerama, and I wanted to make a trip to a place called Kukuwe. Anybody ever heard of Kukuwe? Right? Yep, there we go. One of our Kamea brothers, yes. I wanted to go to Kukuwe. The only way to get there was to come from Kerama along the southern coast towards Malalawa, but not quite all the way to Malalawa. You have to get off at Karama. That's right, Kerama and Karama, two different places. I had to get off at Karama. So there's no dinghy that just goes from Kerama to Karama, so I got the highway dinghy. And it took James. Many of you guys would know James. The two of us went together. We took highway dinghy, and I told the skipper, just let us off at Karama. So he's coming along, and we're doing the highway thing. Wham, 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 wham. You guys know what I'm talking about. And we're coming across, and I told him, well, just drop us at Karama. So he did, pulled off and dropped us at Karama. What I didn't realize, and James didn't know either, is that Karama is split on both sides of a tidal river. And so he dropped us on the wrong side, and we needed to get to the other side. Thankfully, the tide was low, and so we were able to wade across. We had some bags, and we didn't know what we're going to be finding at Kukuwe. It was the first time for us to ever go there. We wanted to go, and we had a chalkboard. Somebody had told me they need a chalkboard, so we had a chalkboard. We had a piece of plywood with chalkboard paint on it, and we had some chalk with us, and we were going to take it up there, and we're going to try to do an outreach. Got dropped off on the wrong side of the river, and we carried the stuff across the river to the other side, holding it above our head and go across the river and get to the other side. We got there, and the plan was just to ask somebody that has a dinghy, can we hire your dinghy and we go upriver? And I was guessing it's probably 10 hours or so we're going to go upriver. I don't know how far we're going to go. Dinghy, canoe, somebody's got something. We got to the village, and we asked them, can we go hire something? They said, no, it can't happen. So what? Sorry. Can we pay somebody to take us? I said, no, there's a tribal fight going on right now. So if we go up, they've already told us. Anybody goes up the river, they're going to kill us. I said, well, I'll take that as the Holy Spirit closing the door. So we hung out in Karama on the beach and tried to flag down a highway dinghy going back the other way. All day long, next day too. And then we paid somebody to take us back. This is the Holy Spirit closed the door. Another time, a place called Penu. The village called Penu. We walked 10 hours to get to the village. And we come into the village just before we came into the village. I'd say it's far away from here to the road. We could see the village. There's a little creek there. And just before we crossed the creek to go into the village, someone came out of the village and met us. And they said, the headman said that if you come into the village, they're going to kill you. This was not denominational at all. It was not a denominational issue. I know that some places that is an issue. It was not a denominational issue. It was literally light versus darkness. A lot of cultish activity going on in that village. At that moment, we took a moment and we evaluated, is it right for us to continue on, go in and become martyrs? Or is it right for us to turn around and go back? We stopped. We prayed. There was a group, I think maybe 8-10 of us. We prayed together. And we felt like in that moment, it was right for us to continue on into the village. Very tense next couple of moments as we walked into the village. They allowed us to sit together with them. We shared the gospel, but it was obvious that it was not accepted. And so the next morning, in fact, the guys, we all took turns that night keeping an eye on each other as we tried to sleep. And the next morning, we dismissed ourselves from the village. Have a good day. That was an act on the way out where I did stop. There was a tree stump where you had to step over a log. And on my way out, I did the proverbial knock the dust off my feet. There was no dust because it's a jungle and it's a rainforest. There's a lot of mud, though. Knock the mud off of my feet as I walk out. And to this day, as far as I know, the gospel has not penetrated Penu. The Holy Spirit closed the door for His own divine purposes. And yet, I can tell you from experience, seeing God has opened many other doors. And see the ministry flourish, personally see the ministry flourish at Kodiranga, and then even you and I together, we've been able to see the ministry flourish here in Port Moresby as God closes some doors and opens wide other doors. And here's Paul in prison in what would seem like a very closed door. And yet he's asking, pray with me that we will have an open door of utterance, the ability to speak the gospel, the very reason for which I'm right here in prison. Would you pray with me that God would give me an open door of utterance? And I got to tell you, there are so many examples as you look through the book of Acts, Paul's story about his time in prison and all the times that he opened his mouth to give the gospel. It's phenomenal. An old man will say, oh, sorry for me, I'm sitting here in bonds. And an old man will try to figure out any way he can to get out of it. Remember that Felix waited for 2 years for Paul to pay a bribe so he could get out of prison. And if Paul had acted like an old man, he would have paid the bribe and he would have been set free. And yet, instead, like a new man, he went for, I'm going to open my mouth and preach the gospel. That was exhibited when he was first arrested in Jerusalem. They tied him up at the temple and they dragged him out in front of the temple, closed the temple doors behind him. This was Acts chapter 21. Closed the doors behind him and the crowd was crazy. The scriptures say that some people were yelling one thing, some were yelling a different thing. But all of them were trying to kill him. And Paul turned to the guard and he said, would it be all right if I address the people? The guard was surprised. He said, you understand these people's language? I thought you were an Egyptian. The guard thought he was somebody completely different that had risen, done an uprising in the southern part of the nation. Paul goes, no, I'm sorry, I'm not that guy. I'm from here. Let me share some. And Paul opened his mouth and preached the gospel to the people. They still hated him for it. And then he stood before Felix, the governor, and he gave the gospel. And he stood before Festus, and he gave the gospel. And he stood before Agrippa, the king, and he gave the gospel. You might remember Agrippa's words, almost, you persuaded me to be a Christian as I listened to the word of God being brought before me. And Paul's not backing down from giving the gospel. You see, a new man opens his mouth and gives the gospel. And then we can see, I'll share this one's from Acts 28, as Paul is in prison. It says that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house. We might call that house arrest. He's under arrest, but he's allowed to be at a house. He's not actually having to stay in the prison for that 2-year period. And what did he do during that 2-year period? Instead of trying to get together a whole bunch of lawyers that could help to figure out how he can get out of prison, instead, he goes, I got a house, let's call it a church. And here's what he received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. And no man forbade him. Nobody stopped him from preaching. For 2 whole years he preached. And then I got to share another one. This is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22. Look at what the fruit of that is. Here it is. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So even people from Caesar, we're talking about Caesar at the top. Even people from his house, perhaps they're his relatives, perhaps they're people that work in his house. Those people are hearing the gospel because Paul has come all the way as far as Rome and is in house arrest for 2 years while he's in Rome and he's sharing the gospel. See, the new man acts different and talks different. And so he's going to talk in prayer to God and he's going to talk the gospel to other people. Let's see number three. You're in Colossians chapter 4. I'll just read verse 4 real quickly before we go into verse 5, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. That word manifest means I'm going to make it clear. I'm not going to water down the gospel. I'm not going to hide parts of it. I'm going to share it out clearly. Now verse number 5, the third type of talking. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And so this would be a talk that's associated with action. Speak with action. Our speech, he says, should be done along with a walk. Remember that you cannot have a walk and a talk that are separate. They need to be lined up. You know the phrase, walk the talk and talk the walk. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. And so your walk and your talk should match. I might just follow on with this idea. I wonder if your walk on Monday through Saturday matches your talk on Sunday. Perhaps if I can just flip it on its head as your pastor, perhaps instead of trying to fake everybody out while you're at church, how about if you started talking on Sunday like you walked on Monday through Saturday? You use filthy language at the workplace and around your friends. Just bring it in here. You say, I can't do that, Pastor, because this is the church. No. The church is not a building. The church is the body. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, watch what's coming out of your mouth. It makes you a clean vessel or an unclean vessel, for out of the heart the mouth speaketh. So don't put on an air when you come to church. Make sure that your walk is with wisdom toward them that are without. And then he uses this phrase at the end. He says, redeeming the time. And this word time is not so much it's 10 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock. But this time is more in the idea of a season or opportunity. So you can think in terms of there's a season for harvesting. And when it comes time for season for harvesting, you don't think about anything else other than harvesting. Therefore, walk, redeeming the time, knowing that it is a time for harvesting. If I'm giving the gospel and I'm walking the right way, then I'm going to be harvesting souls for Christ. Therefore, I must be talking and walking the same way. And I'm not going to allow my walk to detract from my talk, because then I'm going to be wasting the season. So therefore, I'm going to walk, redeeming the time, letting the season have a fullness as I harvest. And then the fourth one, verse number 6. And be speaking with grace. Speaking with grace. Look at verse number 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your speech be always with grace. So number 4, speak with grace. So I'm going to speak to God with prayer. I'm going to speak to others with the gospel. I'm going to speak with my life, with action. And I'm going to speak with grace. And that grace needs to flow out in every area as I speak. So if it's Paul, you're speaking to the judge, Felix, who's trying to extort a bribe from you, speak with grace. If it's Paul, as the Philippian jailer is beating your back, speak with grace. Because you have no idea, tonight might be an earthquake. Tonight he might be asking, what must I do to be saved? Redeeming the time. Speaking with grace. It might be when you're facing persecution, speak with grace. And it might be when you're teaching your children, speak with grace. And it might be when you're talking with your spouse, speak with grace. Make sure that you're speaking with grace so that you can give an answer to all men who are around you. Remember what he said in the chapter preceding. Look at chapter 3 and verse 12. This is the type of life. As we put off the old man, we're putting on a new man. Look at what he said in verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. What's going on? We're putting on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. So brothers and sisters, our lives should be completely different. We're speaking with grace. We're living with mercy. We're not going through our life thinking, well, man, if I wish I'd have just thought of this, if I'd have, when I was talking to him back there, if I'd have just thought of this, I'd have got him good. No, we're not living that way. Bowels of mercy, kindness, long suffering, and I'm going to forgive because I know that somebody else has forgiven me. And therefore, I'm going to be speaking with grace, with salt, drawing them in so they can know more about the one who's done a big change in my life. Let me close with a couple of verses. James wrote in his epistle several things about our speech. And I'm going to share a couple of verses with you as we close. Let me share with you James chapter 3. And this is what James had to say about our mouth. He realized that the old man does not speak with grace. The new man does. And the old man speaks in a much different way. James said this in James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Verse 8, he said, the tongue can no man tame. Within this passage in James chapter 3, he made this statement. He said, you can take a massive horse with all of its strength. And friend, I'm telling you, sometimes horses can get huge. And we can put just a little bit of a bit, a little piece of metal in his mouth, and you can control a horse by pulling that little piece of metal to one side or to the other. He'll turn where you want him to. So you look at a giant ship, and on the back of a ship is this little rudder. And you turn that ship wherever you want to with that little rudder. What a funny thing. And he goes, but your mouth, that tongue, such a small thing, and it can cause great big fires. And it can destroy stuff. Destroy your relationship with other people. He goes, be careful. The tongue, no man can tame that one. It's an unruly, evil, and it's full of deadly poison. And with it, we bless God on one side, and with it, we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. The image bearers of God. On one side, I bless God, and on the other side, I curse His image bearers. Verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. He makes another statement in chapter 1. Here's what he said. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. If you think, I'm a God follower, I'm a Christian, Jesus is my Savior, but you don't control your tongue, here's what he says. You deceive your own heart. And your religion is vain. I would hate for God to call my religion, all of the things that I do to walk and follow after Him, I would hate for Him to call them vain. But He says, if you don't control your tongue, your religion is worthless. But instead, could I ask of us this morning, brothers and sisters, could I ask of us, would we follow David's words in the book of Psalms? Here it is, Psalm chapter 141 and verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And so a new man's going to talk in a different way. God, I'm going to give you control of my mouth. Set a watch, Lord, on my mouth and keep control over my lips. So I should be speaking different as a new man. So Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning. Help us, Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk different and to talk different. Pray that we would speak to you, yes, speak to you in prayer. For your ears are open. You hear the cries of your children. I pray that we would be faithful to speak the gospel as you give a door of utterance and you open up possibilities. And I pray that you would open possibilities. And I pray that we would take those opportunities and we would speak the word of God. And then, Lord, I pray that we would speak with grace and that we would speak with our actions and that our actions would not detract from the words that you've given us. Lord, thank you for your goodness towards us. I pray for your people. Would you bless them and use them in Jesus' name? Amen. Love you.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Matt Allen of Capital City Baptist Church of Port Moresby. We would love to have you join us for service if you are in the area. If you need help with transportation, please give us a call on 7009 1000. Again, it's 7009 1000.